see. But let's take the Kal Vachomer. I think the Kal Vachomer is true, that the Rambam says that you're worse off if you believe that God has emotions than if you believe in Avodah Zorah, because in Avodah Zorah you're making a mistake in God's will. So he's saying that his will is that you should serve these sub-deities. That's his will. But over here he's saying God himself is not what he is. So that's even worse. Right? So it comes out that a person that believes that God has emotions is worse than a person that serves Avodah Zorah. But the guy that serves Avodah Zorah is put to death. And this guy's walking around. And the truth of the matter is not really that simple. Because says the upper person, you kill them. The Einim B'chal Yisrael, you kill them. You see? But you see that it's not that simple. But even that is a strange kind of thing, because it sounds like you kill them, but it's not in the system. You see?
Where are you reading from?
Where I'm reading from?
Oh, that's that last point.
How do you know I'm reading? How do you know?
Really, where are you recalling from?
Which part?
The last statement about that you kill the
Rambam, isn't the Rambam in Mamrim? You got to be around there. The Rambam in Mamrim, I think, has it.
Yeah, one second.
Say,
how's
that work out
with the book of the Rambam?
Yeah. And what's the specific generation? It's one thing, there's two Rambams, you know. It's funny, you saw
that?
There's two
Gishas
in the
Rambams? Yeah, I saw.
I was looking for it, I couldn't find it here. In this Rambam, it doesn't have it. That's what it does. That's a very funny thing, and I didn't realize that.
I'm looking at the top of
No, I'm looking at, which one is this? This is the regular one. There's two regular Rambams. It's an interesting thing. You see, you got to check things out. Because the two Rambams are two different Kesuvos. They must have taken
it.
Yeah, but Yoni Kafos, the old Rambam has it too. The regular...
Two volumes.
But there's two different old Rambams. It's amazing.
The one on your left is really...
That's very funny. I never realized that.
I never realized that.
I mean, because I remember seeing it, and I'm looking here. I can't find it. I started looking around. Yeah, here's where it is, yeah. It says, Ma'afshin Spasim Shukov B'Tosh Bal Peh.
The source
is Per Gimel Lach HaBeis. Mori Dino So V'Lo Mylan. It means you throw them into the pit and you don't take them out. Barei Kishor Kol HaPekusim Av Omri Mein Tor Mishmayim Av Murmim Av Mosrim. Shekol Leil Enim Bukhla Yisrov Ve'in Tzorach Lo Edim Lo Asrov Lo Dayonim. El Kol HaHoreg Echad Men Oso Mitzvah Gedolo Ve'eser Mechra. So if it doesn't have the whole thing, took it out. I guess they censored it. I guess it was censored.
Does that mean a men too here?
Yeah, apparently. All those things you mentioned over there. So, the thing is...
It's funny, you know, in the other one in Avodah Zarah, Rebbe, in Beis Hay.
In Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, where he says, Machshava shall be covered by Avodah Kavavim.
Yes.
It's funny, there his definition is a guy that is overall Gufei Torah Lahachet, the Saint Nefesh, the Yad Ramah.
Right.
But he doesn't say a men.
No, so that's a different realm.
And over here?
That's a different realm over there. I mean, it's a different realm. Over here he's talking about a Maisa. He's doing Maisa B'Yad Rama. That's
Isn't this like a guy who doesn't do like those spies against those puppets?
Yeah, I know. So I understand what you're... Yeah, okay, so what's the point? Here he's talking about his belief system.
Right.
Belief, so he has his belief system, so it's more reading Rome Island.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, so the question is that that it doesn't seem like it's so bad for some reason. See, the thing is, the reason why you have this problem, I think, is because we always make a mistake, and we're used to placing tremendous importance on the asiyas and mitzvos, which is correct, but the asiyas and mitzvos is not really everything. I mean, that's the thing. The asiyas and mitzvos are really just there in order to give a person correct ideas. So all these onshim take place within the framework of Yisroel in terms of asiyas and mitzvos. But if a person thwarts the entire goal of the entire Torah, he can't be in the system of onshim. He is not fit in that system. He's like outside the whole system. So that's why the Rambam says that he's not even included in Beis Din, in all these proceedings, because he's doing something far worse, far greater in terms of worse. You know what I mean? Because what he's doing is, he's denying, that's a different category. A guy that's denying, he's not, there's within the system, and then there's the objective of the system. So you can't treat the objective of the system the way you would the system. It doesn't make any sense logically. You know what I mean? So all the systems of onshim and that you have in the Torah are within the framework of the system. Those are for the people within the system. That's why even a person that gets misa. So what do Chazal say? They make sure to say, he gets misa, but yesh lo chayv olam haba. Why do they say that? Because it means he's within the system. So misa may sound like a terrible thing, but he still has the advantage of being in the system. He's treated as a member of the system. But he who thwarts the entire goal, this system has a goal. And the goal of the system is the correct ideas of God. A person have only the correct ideas. His ideas of God should be only correct ones. All his ideas. Okay? So I say all his ideas because we don't have the ability to have one idea, because we're human beings. So that's why you have midos, you have all these different ideas because of our nature. That's what the Rishonim say, explain, that all these Hashem are for us. Because we can go on the abstract level to perceive God. So we can say that he is a racham, his actions, we break all our ideas of God are broken up into the way we perceive things because we're limited in our abilities. We have to put things in human thought. Okay, but when we say God is a racham, it's because we can't, if we knew God in abstract, in one idea, you wouldn't have to say anything. But since we don't have the ability to do that, so we say, well, let's understand his actions. Can we analyze his actions as far as humanly possible? See actions that emanate from God and his quality. So this quality is racham. So we're entitled to have that idea. That's a correct idea of God. Okay, so the whole Torah is really given to us that we should have everything. You have that, you have everything, you see. But that's why Chazal say that the person that's kofar b'avodah zarah is moda b'chol ha'torah. Means that even if a person just had that one idea correct, he would have the essence of the objective of the chol ha'torah. It doesn't mean, because it sounds crazy, so the guy that's a kofar b'avodah zarah is going to kind of chol ha'torah kula. So what does that mean? It sounds like a contradictory statement. He who denies avodah zarah is moda b'chol ha'torah kula. So it sounds like you're giving him everything. Right? So what's the weird, okay, so I'm covered over the Zohar. So now I'm part from all the mitzvahs. Now I keep paying nothing. What it means is, that is he who enters into the system is subject to a whole system of tayyad mitzvahs. But all these tayyad mitzvahs have an objective. And the objective is the correct idea of God. So he who's kofar b'avodah zarah, even though he doesn't keep any of the mitzvahs, it's as if he is moda b'chol ha'torah kula. It means in terms of the objective of the system, he has the schar of moda b'chol ha'torah kula. Doesn't mean he's pata from the system, but there are two different frameworks. There's the system, there's the objective of the system. The objective of the system is a category, and it's the most significant category. So that's why you don't need a bezin to kill a guy that is a cult, because he's outside the system, thwarting the objective of the entire system. So he can't even enter into the system. Over there you don't say if you kill him is Yesh L'Chayv Olam Haba. A person who's Nidun B'Misa is still considered a virtuous person on some level. He's a Shuvah And he's within the system. And this is an alabah. That's what the Ramah said. But he's still part of the system. He's recognized part of the system. You see? So that means he still has virtue. He still has virtue. But there is an outside realm which is more important than the tariyah. That is the objective of the whole system. So he who thwarts the objective of the whole system has no part in anything. You see, but that's why it's a delicate area, because people we are used to from early youth, we're trained in the philosophy that it's the asiyas and mitzvos is everything. That's not true.
You gotta get those checks.
What's that?
You gotta get the checks.
You gotta get the checks. So you're trained to believe that that is everything. And that I think is a mistake of a lot of people. That they try to take the asiyas and mitzvos separate kind of a phenomenon. So therefore they start thinking, if you be machmer, this is where you get everything. If you be machmer in everything more, that's the way you're going to win the day. You know what I mean? But that's not true. Because you see the halacha doesn't demand that. You see the halacha, for instance, halacha is that you have machlokas. So machlokas means my prishmas. So, you can go like Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, in reality, maybe wrong. But the answer is, we only have an obligation to the halachic system. Halacha. If this day is at all the way, that's the halacha. That's it. So you see, even the Torah, even in its system, try to make it clear, it's not this thing. It's compliance with the system, that's the perfection. So that's why, for instance, like on Shabbos Shudas, on Shabbos. So the Achronim say, Yotze with Mini Tagima. You're going to Ramayana Makayim Shalosh Yudas. All right, so you have the Yeshua Midlasmach, you have other days. You only Mechuyev to keep the Torah according to the Halacha. According to my days, Yotze, not Mechuyev do more. That's it. Yotze. You know what I mean? All your Mechuyev to be Yotze. I'm not saying a person can't be Machmer. See, where does Machmer come in? Machmer comes in where a person has is beyond that, he has a tremendous avas on mitzvahs. So that's for such a person, a different level. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of thing, you know? But everybody's not mechuyev to do that. And if you're that and you're not on the level, you're just fooling yourself. You know what I mean? That's a different thing. It's a different level. You're not mechuyev to do that. You see, those poskim hold this way. That's the way we go. I had a Rambam hold the other day. That is, when you get into that type of a thing, you're going off the track. You're going off the goal. Moshe has in his introduction, he tries to point that out. That the emesis, according to Z, otherwise he couldn't give up something. The emesis to comply with Allah. Did I use Allah methodology? It comes out this way. That's it. There are poskim that hold this way. Can you stumble on this poskim? That's enough. Like you do a chometz on Erev Pesach, like the Rav or Gamash. Either way, some on a Rav, some on a Gamash. Okay? It's not the real. What's the real way? The real. There's no real. That is real. You have a poster. You gave a psak, and that's the real. There's no more real than that. That's why these Reb Chaim used to ask Reb Yitzchok Chana to give a psak. Why? You're a posek. You've done a posek. You gave a psak. I rely on your psak. I write the line, I'm relying on Yipzak. Start giving me reasons. I'll start thinking on myself. I go through them to myself. I have to follow my mind so I can't follow Yipzak. But the whole system is geared to take you away from that concept that there's like a magic performance that's going to win you something. You know what I mean? That is really, and that, if you think into that, you just realize Torah Misina. You see, I put them into the abstract level where it's not a system. It's not the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wear his tefillin, but our tefillin, that's it. The Yotze, because we follow the system, that's it. So the same thing is true. If a person does a chumra, I would say like this. I would say if a person does a chumra, takes a chumra by himself, he should ask himself that this chumra bring me closer to what? That's what he should ask himself. That's really the question. And if not, it's not for him. That's it. You know, like the Rav one time said about Reb Chaim Brisker, he said, Reb Chaim would say the same Talamata, or he'd say it all the time, Shmakalan, too, and vice versa. Now we need it. So they said, now we switch bracha, right? So Reb Chaim was Mesupik, because do you go by this land, where you are, or do you go by Eretz Yisrael? So he figured out a resolution. Never say it in Baruch Olayim, always say it in Shmakalan. So So I remember after the Rav said that, he said, but that was an Asik for a Chaim. That's what he said. That was for him. He was on that level. You know what I mean? That Chumrah was for him a perfection. A regular person does that, he's just an imitator. He's not really gaining perfection. So a person has to ask himself when he does a Chumrah, is this Chumrah really, is this for me? Is this really bring me closer to Hashem? Or is it just a machmeh here because I have some kind of emotional thing that this is, you know, somehow this is going to get me somewhere. You know what I mean? That is wrong. That is wrong. So, I mean, you really see the way the Torah is structured in a beautiful way. It's a person's eye on the essence. On the essence. And don't lose sight of the essence, because then you start going into primitive modes of behavior, which the Torah is trying to take you away from. You see. But similarly, as a component of that, you have the concept that it's not all asiyas or mitzvahs. There are two realms. There's the perfection. I mean, after all, for one thing, they didn't have any mitzvahs. And if you tell me that he kept all the mitzvahs, so I'll say so. So I'll tell you, even if you would say that, there are many, many Gainim and Rishonim that didn't agree with that. So what did they hold? So what did they hold? So you just discard them? I mean, you can't, obviously, you can't discard them. You got machlokes, but you can't say that one group doesn't know. So what are Avraham Avinu? So Avraham Avinu had the whole objective of the had the whole objective of Kol Torah Kol, but the objective is really the essence. But nevertheless, it doesn't free you from being in, from once you have that objective, now you're going into a different realm, into the system. So there's two realms. So when Chazal say a person's kofar b'avodah zarah, which means a person that denies idolatry, so he's on a very high level. You can't say, it's like he's Mekayim Kol Torah Kol. In what sense? In the sense of the objective. In that sense, that's true, and that's a great. That's a great thing. It's an interesting thing. You know, the Rambam, I never understood the Rambam, but it's maybe my answer is not complete at this point. But the Rambam wrote that when he writes about the proof of God, so he says he doesn't speaks in terms of the existence of God. He writes in the Mishnah, he goes, when we studied the Rambam, he sort of thought, we saw that's true. Because he says, that is Yisori Yisori San Amar HaChachmos. Leida Shiyesham Matzi Rishon. Right? By Rishon over there, he doesn't mean first, he means primary. A primary existence. Now that fits into Aristotle's definition as well. Because, and the proof is, because he says it's the Yisori HaChachmos. So that would mean that if you don't have this idea that he's talking about, you don't have the Yisori HaChachmos. Now the Rambam writes that Aristotle was the greatest Chacham. And you see over there, he's not talking about God insofar as being the Borei Olam and Yesh Me'ayim. He's talking about the idea of God's existence. Later he talks about that. When he talks about Avraham Avinu, he said Avraham Avinu discovered the idea that God. And he doesn't say that. So the Rambam writes in the Mishnah, he says, why do I do that? He says, because I don't want the proof of God to be based on creation. So God's existence is not based on creation. Based on an understanding of the universe and seeing that its chachma emanates all over the universe. Yeah, you see. The Rambam, why the Rambam write that though? But if you don't accept the fact that God is the Borei Olam, you really deny Torah. I mean, you deny the Torah. So you're not going to get a Elgin Olam Abai, you're denying Yesh Me'ayin, right? But I think there's two things. The Rambam is saying that when you understand an idea, you have to understand the idea from where it is expressed, you see. So, if the idea is expressed from a certain vast base, and you take that idea and hinge it on a particular, even though that particular is true, you see, but you're not really getting down to the proof of the idea. You see, so you're lacking. See, the Rambam doesn't write in terms of Chelek and Olam Haba. He writes about the proof of God. The important thing is to have the right idea. So having the right idea is based on how the idea emerges naturally and the force of the idea from where it emanates. So it's true that you have to believe Yesh Me'ayin. That's the Yisod and the Das. But nevertheless, when you present the idea of God's existence, he doesn't present it He doesn't present it to me. G.H. Manning would prove it. But that's not really the source, because that would mean if a person denies G.H. Manning, that he should deny God. And that's not true. Because God is manifest from the universe, whether you have G.H. Manning or you don't have G.H. Manning. So the idea has to emerge from its natural source. So that's the Rambam. It's not that the Rambam in the first halacha denies G.H. Manning. You see. The Rambam is showing you that when you have an idea, the idea has to emerge from where it emerges from. You don't hinge it on something, even though that thing you're hinging it on, that's why he was very much against all those people who proved God's existence from the fact that from Yesh Me'ayin. Because that's not really the source of the idea. And it would seem, according to the Rambam, that a person that has the idea, even though he doesn't have the idea of Yesh Me'ayin, but he has the idea of God, he has something, because it says that's mitzvah saseh. So you can't... Everything isn't measured in terms of chelek ma'amar. That's a different system, chelek ma'amar, you see. But a person, insofar as he's an odom, if he partakes of a certain mind with that reality, that's a kiyum. That's a kiyum. Don't worry about olam haba. Worry about... What you have to worry about is the correct ideas. Everybody's just worried about themselves. Where am I going to be? You know what I mean? That's not the correct approach. That wasn't the Rambam's approach. The Rambam's approach was be in law, that your soul should be in law. Man, see the whole, how do you serve God really according to the Hadith? There's a strange answer. How do you serve God? You serve God by serving yourself, basically. Because Laman Yitavach. So it means that you as a creature should be in line with what God designed Adam to be. So insofar as a person, let's say like an Aristotle. Insofar as an Adam, he was on a very high level. Insofar as an Adam, he was on a very high level. That's not nothing. You can't forget about Schar Vonish. That's not nothing. That's a significant thing. That's a significant... That's one of the things, you know what I mean, that people have time with, because they can't get beyond the concept of doing mitzvos and thereby getting your chelek and olam haba. That's all they're concerned about. See? That shouldn't be a concern. The person's concern should be to be an Adam HaSholem and to be in line with the design that God began with. And that design is where the soul is in tune with certain reality. So in Einstein, for instance, later he did all Yesh Me'ayim, but first he did. But in Einstein, who sees God from the universe, he sees the manifestation of God's existence behind the whole system, that's an Adam HaSholem. That's a perfection. But it's still, oh boy, it's immaterial. It's not our ASIC, you know what I mean? But our ASIC is really to understand what perfection is and what the Torah system leads to. So ideas that are correct ideas that put the soul on a proper level, that's really the objective of Kol HaTorah Kulo. So that's why the Rambam in his first halacha did not base the proof of God's existence on Yesh Me'ayin. Because it's not a proof. That's like, that was like a move to try to save the religion, you know? But that's not where the idea is Noveya from. The idea is Noveya from a greater source. Yesh Me'ayin, not Yesh Me'ayin, that's not the point. Mind should be in line with where the idea emanates from. That is the Shleimus Adam. And that's really, that's the Rambam. But in everything we're discussing, I mean, you see that that it's very significant that a person realize that as important as Asiyas HaMitzvahs are, and no one is downgrading Asiyas HaMitzvahs, but you have to understand what they are and in what framework they exist. Distort it is to distort Kol HaTorah Kulo. I mean, you could almost be a person that's Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo. You can't be such a person. Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kulo, all the mitzvahs, and leaves the whole objective. So then he's thwarting everything. That's the Chovas all of us, basically. That's the whole Chovas. That's why that introduction of Chovas all of us is priceless. Because over there he explains that everything. It's good to go over it once in a while, give it more time. But that's what Ram says, that sefer never left his father's desk. It's because look in the Psukim in the Torah. Psukim in the Torah and the Nevi'im. Look at the Nevi'im. Nevi'im aren't Mazir. I'm putting on film, on davening with kavana. They're mazir on the fundamentals of the das. That's where the musr is. That's where the real musr is. But if you're a real person musr, all right, say davening longish mitzvah, shortish mitzvah. The main thing is that he has the right ideas. I mean, that's where it's at. You know what I mean? So the Nevi'im didn't spend time in zikr taras Moshe Avdi, of course. You got to do the mitzvahs. But the emphasis is on shleimus. That's really what Torah gives a person is perfection. And if a person doesn't get that out of the Torah, no matter what they do, if they learn and they keep the mitzvahs and they do everything, but if the perfection is never attained, then it really, the Torah lost its head, lost its goal. Lost its goal. You're the biggest chacham. Doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't get what the Torah is trying to teach you, that is that a person should live in a certain reality. And that's really what it is, and that's what gives a person his life. And that's the point. If you think it's because you learned a certain amount of blot, that's not what it is either. I thought Gemara says that there were people that were Gedolei Torah and Chachma. And who? Dargadami. Ish Netzar al Hashem. Right? Netzar al Hashem. Because he missed the point. He missed all points. A person that learns less. That's like Gemara said. Gemara said, "Brachas get always into Rabbi so he's crying, right? So what are you crying about? Because you didn't learn enough Torah. You could always feel you didn't learn enough Torah. Everybody feels I should have learned more. But that's it. Echad amav, echad amamet. The main thing is you learn for the right reason. You're pursuing knowledge. You're pursuing Chachmas Hashem and enjoying Chachmas Hashem. And that's really what the whole Torah is about. I mean, that's it. If you have no point, you get another story. You get a better story. It's all nice, it's all wonderful, but if it fits within the framework, it does something for you. If it doesn't, then you're really missing all. You're missing the whole perfection. I mean, you're missing all perfection. On that score, the philosophers were all 100% right. And I don't think anybody likes it. And the Torah doesn't. The Torah, you look at the Torah, the Torah places its emphasis on. Most of the Torah, the emphasis on removal of Avodah Zarah, and Avodas Hashem, I mean, and having the right ideas, I mean, that's what the emphasis is on. Svaran Taisvis, I mean, I'm not saying you should miss Svaran Taisvis, I'm just saying if you miss Svaran Taisvis, so the main thing is that the perfection of the Lima, without the perfection, the whole thing is nothing. I mean, that's what a person should really work on. That's what a person should really work on. And on the contrary, if a person wants to be the sharpest guy in the and that's really his goal and everything, so he's missing the whole thing. I mean, he's missing the whole purpose of it. I mean, the purpose is not to be the sharpest guy. The purpose is little learning, and that brings a person into a different realm and brings him closer, and that's really the purpose. So the purpose of the thing has to be more important than for the thing which was created for the purpose. I mean, the purpose itself is the ultimate objective, so it's not possible that the purpose should be inferior to the thing that was created for the purpose itself. I mean, it's illogical. But because of that, people have peace dynamics. I'm not saying you shouldn't do chumras. I mean, chumras is very good, but you have to understand what chumra is. Chumra is something where the person feels that this he's on a certain level, like the Rav Zeruya Chaim. For a Chaim, that was a perfection. A regular person does that. It doesn't do him any good. Chaim was on Nizir and he's concerned about this and what the yeah. For him that was good. For us that's not nice. Yeah.
These guys are richer than me. So.
That's a different point. But anyways, does that answer your question?
Oh, well, so you were showing the reason why it's a puzzling question. Really shouldn't be a puzzling question.
No, it shouldn't be a puzzling question.
It should be a
pshita. Once you have the two realms.
In other words, that the denial of the existence of God has to be.
Has to be. It has so to be worse.
Than somebody who's of the
day of other. That's right. But I would add one caveat. I would add one thing to that. And that is that if a person believes, the Rambam doesn't have this one, but I would say that if a person believes that God has emotions, I would say that he would be worse. Then he would be worse. Perhaps, I mean, he would be worse than a person could be. I mean, you have to, you know, these things are not simple because you have to know what's in the person thinking and why he's thinking that way. But, you know what I mean? But it could be worse than a person that doesn't know An agnostic, for instance.
Well, I'm not talking about...
An agnostic, for instance. It says he doesn't know. What? You know what I mean?
Talking about a true atheist.
A true atheist?
Yeah. Something he knows.
Is it possible?
No God.
Does it mean you're
wrong? That's a true atheist, that he knows there's no God, is an evil thing, because there's no position like that.
Right. Totally corrupt.
It's totally... A person like that, I would say a person like that, is an oved avodah zarah in the negative. You know, and so one physicist was like that. That was Weinberg. I mean, he was like that. It was a very surprise, because he had a guy that's so sophisticated in physics, Nobel Prize, but he was like really backward, like a child. Because he said the idea of God is no value to him unless it's a personal thing. God in his mind. That was the only idea that's worthwhile for him. You know, so the idea of a borei olam, that's nothing. I mean, what? Because you can't get anything out of it? Is that a reason to reject? That's not sounded. But it shows you that a person could be very sophisticated in terms of science, can be very sophisticated, and yet be very backward when it comes to... our physicists today, as a rule, they despise philosophy. And some of them with justification. Certain philosophy is justifiably, despisable. But many of them, are not on a level at all. That's why you can't be astounded by a great genius that really wins the day. What wins the day is right reason. That's really where it's at. You know? Everybody's like, gee, why people like genius? Because genius is like, it's splendor, it's like greatness. Wow! Look at that, that person's unbelievable. But the mind believable may be true, but where's that mind going? You know what I mean? Where is it at? If it's away from reality, so what good is it? The real genius is really correct thinking, correct, right reason, correct thinking. That's more important. So a person can be have a simpler mind, not such a genius, but he's more reality than a person whose genius carries him into different areas, but areas which are most basic. He hasn't gotten any wins. So it really doesn't do anything for him.
He can have an evil gene.
That's something else. Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, what's the question?
Right. He seems to be leaving the subject to debate. Not like a firm position.
I can't think of a particular point in the Mara. Yeah, by the way, there's a ban against the teaching of Mara.
Presently?
No, the Rambam.
Oh.
Rambam himself.
Maybe this thing happened to be up to, I don't know.
But the Rambam says that you should not try to explain anything that I say in the Mara that others don't say. You explain certain things in the Mara, you have to say, where he says this is for everybody, It could be in the book called Mara Nevuchim, but that's not what he means. And those things are basic things. He makes a point out of making that clear. Certain areas, you have to be careful, because he says that you won't understand what I mean. I misrepresent my thinking. He says, and people will believe you. This is what I meant. And since it's a wrong idea, you'll be doing me a great injustice. He says, so therefore he says that if you understand, you think you understand what I mean, he says, so be happy with that. But thoughts are, because if it's wrong, then putting me in a position where I'm saying something false, somebody else will see that it's not true. So they may reject the true idea. So it's tough. A lot of those areas in the Mara are very tough. Very tough. Avodah Zarah means, what is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is where a person is insecure and they set up before their mind a deity that will satisfy their needs. That's Hayasa Lo Adam Elohim Vahim Alo Elohim. That means that a person has natural needs, he has fears, and therefore a person sets up in his mind a kind of a God to satisfy these needs. That's what the Torah is against. It's a big demand the Torah makes, because that's what religion is. That's a religion. So the thing is, when I say he's an Oved Avodah Zarah in the negative, it means that he really, the only kind of God he could perceive God. And then he is against it, because, see, that kind of God, you have feelings for such a God, you also have feelings against it. So he chose the negative feelings. You know what I mean? Against it. You know what I mean? So really, he's stuck in the same realm. But it's just either positive or negative. So that's why most apikorsim, you find apikorsim, are real avdevarzah. But they're avdevarzah in the negative. They really haven't gone beyond that. But at the same time, you know, somebody presented a problem to me recently where, and this is an important thing, maybe I should mention it to you guys, it's significant. And that is, somebody asked me, they said that the person came, they felt very insecure once they heard, you know, learned the Rambam, that God has no emotions, so they felt very insecure, you know. And how do you answer a person like that? You know, because not everybody's on the level that they could level to just say, you know, you see, you're so happy to see that there's a Borei Olam, and this idea is so beautiful and powerful and all-encompassing that this is your life, you know, I mean, it's a big level, you know, for a person to not to be concerned about himself, and that this is the truth, and we listen to the truth because that's the emes, like the Rambam says, and that's all that counts, is the emes. I mean, not too many people, but that's all that counts. I mean, so you have to be careful. I mean, how, and that's why I say to the guys in the yeshiva, because a lot of times the guys in yeshiva, they gain some knowledge, and then they go out, and they really have this knowledge, and secondly, you can't play with people's emotions. Chazal allowed certain superstitious beliefs among the Amonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bar B'Tronya and B'Yosef. God doesn't make unreasonable demands from his kibbutz on that level. So that's what the Rambam says, that there is such a thing as Oved Meiro. Such a phenomenon. So even though the Rambam says it's for Noshim Ketanim and Chesri Adas, nobody, I mean, everybody says, that's not me, is it? No, person says, maybe that's the level they're on. That situation, so has a person, so the question was raised to me, so what do you do in that situation? So, Chosvah says, that why does the Torah speak about God in Yumach Mashal, but why did the Torah do that? I didn't look into Chosvah, but I think this is probably what it means. In other words, that a person should realize if a person has a need, an emotional need, he's not on the level of, like the Rambam says, that he's the great thinker, so awed by God's chachma, and the existence of God is such a powerful idea. This is all he needs, is his whole life. That's it. Doesn't need anything more. That's it. You know, I mean, not everybody's on that level. A person is insecure, and they needs. So there I say, what the Chovos HaLevavos is saying is that the person should realize that what he would want emotionally, whatever they are, and whatever he would want God to, in order to satisfy those needs, he has to realize God is not that, but God satisfies those needs 1,000 times more, infinitely more. A person has a right to Chav Kidruchi. I mean, that's the way they transform, and it's true, and that's the truth. So it's not that the Torah doesn't offer a person any security. That's not true. It doesn't offer a person security the way he would like to think of it, in particular. And for that kind of security, only amounts to that, and that's us, you see. But you have to be able, in general, a little bit higher. He has these needs, he's worried. And he would have what he wants from God. If he would have it, he thinks he'd be satisfied. But the truth is that he has infinitely more. God's chesed is far greater than any chesed that he could imagine. So security, you see, in a sophisticated way, not in the primitive way, but in the real way, that God's the Borei Olam Rachem on his creatures. And therefore he has the greatest security possible. Because of the fact that he realized the Chachmas Hashem beyond anything. So that means his chesed is beyond anything. So any chesed that you're looking for is nothing compared to the real chesed. So the truth of the matter is that that should give us a tremendous security. And that's a legitimate, and that's the correct idea. That is true. That is the correct idea. So the Torah doesn't really make a demand that a person abandon all concerns about himself. I mean, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Seichel Nifra, you know what I mean? That's all he's concerned about. All he thinks about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all he's concerned about. Nothing else comes into his mind. But That's not, you see, even David HaMelech, I mean, David HaMelech is portrayed in Tillim, you read it this morning, all the things, but what the Tillim teaches you is to take your emotions and realization with an idea that's far more powerful than what the person is looking for on a primitive level. You see, to transform that and to realize that he had a greater security. He couldn't get a greater security. He couldn't be the Yodchavkid Ruchi. He couldn't be in the hands of anyone that would give. Realize how fortunately, how fortunate is it that he's in the hands of the Bariola. And so there again, you see, this is not simple. It's tricky. You see, you can't. The problem is that when you learn things, so you jump from one side from one side to the other, and you don't get the whole picture. But the whole picture is really is a satisfying picture on an emotional plane as well. Easy, because emotions look for particular things. You're happy if you met somebody that said he's going to take care of you, and you feel great if you had a problem. Ah, he's taking care of you. I mean, in a sense. But the truth of the matter is that is nothing. That's the he's nothing. The Boreolam, you have the Boreolam. So that's the greatest security. But the Torah doesn't deny the emotions. The Torah recognizes that a person has needs. But the needs should be realistically satisfied. That's really what the Torah, that's what I believe. Like I said, I didn't take a look, but that's what I believe. And that's why the Torah speaks in that language. Because it's a very sharp idea, they say. The Torah speaks in that language because the Torah wants the person to be able to do that, and he should do that, and it's rational for him to do that. It's rational for him. Yes, go ahead.
But you're not saying that it's not just that, like, I'll just receive him just because man is temporal and God is, it's a different kind of security you're saying, isn't it?
Well, of course, you mean qualitatively differentiated.
Yeah, what is man looking for? And why isn't he normally, beyond Chavkid Ruchi, why wouldn't that satisfy him? I'm asking, like, what's the nature of these two securities?
You got to explain your question a little more. You got to bring it out a little more. Maybe somebody here understands more what you're saying. Go ahead.
I think there's a different, it's a realization on a different level that kind of security.
Okay, I'll give you another example where you have the same exact thing in Yadis. For instance, a person wants the good. A person has what he wants. He wants materialism, whatever it is he wants. Honor, lovers of money, lovers of power. Whatever it is, a person, if he loves something, he wants something, he has to believe that's the good. Okay? Torah says, what does the Torah demand? The Torah doesn't demand that you get rid of all those things. What it demands is that you recognize you want the good. What you should want is the good in abstract. That which will really, if not to be attached to a particular good that has been defined and determined by your emotion. In other words, if a person loves power, so power, he thinks, is the good. But power as a, so there's two things. There's the love of power, the love of money. Behind that, he thinks it's a good, right? So the Torah tells you, ultimately, you're looking for the good. That's what you're looking for. So drop the thing which your emotion has, drop that, okay? And realize that you're after the good. So what you're really after is the true good, okay? So it demands that you drop the particular which your mind has determined through your emotions. So the emotions jump to a conclusion and say, this is it, because you feel it feels good. You see, the Torah doesn't tell you that you're on the wrong track completely. You're after the good. But it says, but your determination of what it is wrong. So you should wish that you attain the true good that will really give you true happiness. You see, remove yourself from the particular, which are your emotions, and look at what you really want. So that's what you really want is the good, with Tov Lach. So you're asking God, when you're in the scholar, you're asking God that he should open your eyes and you should have the true good, which is more satisfying than the particular good that you fasten onto because of your emotions. You see? So the Torah demands that you take the thing and put it in its abstract form, which is its true form, and go after it that way. You see? I would say that's very similar to this, that the person is looking for emotional security and then remain in the world of Avodah Zarah. Okay? Because then he has to manufacture things, you know what I mean? Because he's convinced that these are the things. So the Torah says that you have to rise above that. You have to realize that there is a true good and there is a true source for this good. And this source is, you're not forfeiting anything, you're gaining. You're not forfeiting, on the contrary, you're gaining. Because this source is beyond your imaginary deity that you constructed and satisfy this thing that you are convinced you need. Look at it in abstract and realize that there is the true deity who's beyond all that. And because he's beyond, it may be that he's beyond what's your particular, but it grants you true security. Because the security, true God, which is something that is beyond. You know, it's a pasuk in the Torah, you know that, anything. Give me a chumash. Pasuk Torah. Pasuk in the Torah. You know what a pasuk is? Anybody have any idea? The pasuk is in Purim, it's in the Zosa Bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu said that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that in the end of the brachas, he said, at the end of the brachas, so he says like this. He says, right before Ma'ona Elokei Kedem, in the Osho Amar, and then he says, Ein Kokel Yeshurun, Rochev Shemayim Bezrecho V'gavosar Shvakim. Rashi says, he says that, what do you mean Ein Kokel Yeshurun? There is Dalacha Yeshurun she'ein kokel b'chol alohei ha'amim v'lo kitzur chatzuma, that there is no God among the nations that is as great as our God. What do you mean? There are other gods? I mean, there's no muvado. There is no other God. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ours is better? I mean, ours is better when they're here. I mean, ain't od muvado. There's nothing. Absolutely ethos. So what is he saying? Ain't kokel yeshurun. But it's like this. Da'alacho yeshurun she'ain kokel b'chol elohei ha'amim v'lo kitzur chatzur. That, not in terms of the reality. In terms of the reality, nothing exists besides God. But if man wants the satisfaction that he's looking for, you should know that your tzur gives you, the true idea of God gives you greater satisfaction than any other artificial, self-made deity. You see? That's what he says. Why? And the end of the post says, because Rochev Shomayim Bezrecha, Uvaga'avaso Shchotim. You see, it means Rochev Shomayim Bezrecha means that he is the source of all existence. So he helps you, he manipulates all the laws of nature. And he's above everything. That's the true idea of God. So a person that has the true idea of God has a greater security, because his security is in an idea that is infinitely powerful. Whereas the person who tries to satisfy himself on a primary level, so he made a quick move and he got himself a little satisfaction, but really it's nothing. It really is nothing. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that's what Ein Kokel Yeshurun, that you, Klal Yisrael, are fortunate. Because raise yourself to that level, you'll have a sense of security that no other nation could have. Because you have the true idea of God, the source of all existence, the one who controls nature because he created it. Can there be a greater security than that? So that's really what, that's the pasuk. That's really the pasuk. See, that's the pasuk. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's the meaning of the pasuk. So the meaning of the pasuk, that was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to Klal Yisrael. Don't, on the contrary, you think that you're giving up something by giving up a vote as well as the emotional satisfaction. But on the contrary, you have the greatest security because your idea is the correct idea, and you know that that idea is true. And yet is the most powerful idea. It can't be great security in that because that's the ultimate reality. That's the possibility. So that's what Yadis, and that's the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, to tell them how fortunate they are, that they have this great bracha, that they have that psychological satisfaction, true psychological. There is true psychological satisfaction. But man has to be willing to go a little bit beyond what the instincts draw immediately, the immediate conclusion on that. You know what I mean? And does, then he's fortunate. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, so that idea is that's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes?
Sorry, I warned you at the beginning about the number of those things.
That's
the question.
You can't learn Torah for somebody, you know. The concept of the Gemara says that when Chizkiyahu HaMelech died, so they made a kavod for the others. So there is a concept of dedicating a shir, the suda for the very, very great meeting. Really, an individual that's there's a Jew that a person could ask him many things in his life. I'm trying to say something, but it's difficult to express because the nature of a person is that a person looks for things in holistic, concrete terms. It's not the way the world of knowledge works. The world of knowledge is, it's a different world. And it's a different orbit of function. So you say, who has a chelv malamba, who doesn't have a chelv malamba. That is a study in itself. That's a study. Does it mean that a person can look at that and say, this person definitely has a chelv malamba? Knows. And only the Borei Olam is shokel mitzvahs, and people are a nusim, and there are different circumstances, and the Dayan HaEmes is the only one that could be done. But the study of a Chelek and Olam Haba is a generic study in itself. It's not a study that is there for the sole purpose of a person saying, I'm going to open up this book, and now I'm going to know exactly, I do A, B, C, D, and here I am, boom, and all I'm up. That's really not what a study of why this gives a person a chayav malam haba, and what is the perfection. It's not to be honest. The Gemara says, for instance, Lulei ha-manti l'roz b'tuvah Hashem b'eretz chayim, the Dovah melakun on Lulei. Because Dovah melakun said, Lulei ha-manti l'roz b'tuvah Hashem b'eretz chayim, if it weren't for the fact that I knew that there's olam haba, he says the whole life wouldn't be worth it. Because after all, in this life, a person's pleasures are always intermingled with pain. There's no such thing as pure enjoyment. It's a moment, fleeting moment. But our lives are always contained a tremendous element of negative aspects to it. So the Ramal said that, Luli Amanti Lis, if it weren't for the fact that I realized that in this life, a person's soul can perfect himself where he has an existence, some existence of the soul, like the Rambam says, that in that existence, if you look back at all the pleasures in this life, you wouldn't even want them, because they're inferior. You wouldn't even be tempted by them. So, Dovah Melech is saying that's Chesed Hashem. As much as this life is a struggle, but the fact is that you can perfect your soul. Everybody perfects soul, to a certain extent. Even if it's minimal, but it's coming along. So Dhamma says, Lulei Amanti Liros B'tuvah Hashem Eretz Chaim, that if it weren't for that, he says, I wouldn't be able to go on. Because sometimes things are so difficult that you feel you just can't. So, but the Lulei is Nukli. That's dots on it. Why? Because it says, because he really didn't know. So you see that even David HaMelech, what didn't have that is, that what I'm trying to bring out is, that a person should not look at these things. Of course a person should think that he's a Ben Olam Haba. Not to look at it, let me explain it. Because Ben Melech wasn't, Ben Melech didn't, the Pasuk is there. The Pasuk is there, it's not good. But it means that a person should not look happy with a certain kind of security. And I mean, this is a hard demand. I mean, I know it's a hard demand because sometimes, you know, you have a hard demand, but you can't live up to it right away. But you keep it in the back of your mind. And as life goes on, you know, it's something that a person in this life should not be restricted to a certain kind of absolute security. You see, that itself is a... It's from the emotions. I mean, it's a little bit of a higher level thing. You know, it stems from the emotions, the need for absolute security. But certain kind of security that's based on the mind and the intellect. And it's satisfying, although it doesn't contain that absoluteness that you look for when you're younger. But when you get into the world of knowledge, you get a certain, like knowledge itself gives a person a certain security. But it doesn't give that kind of security. But it gives a security of knowledge. So knowledge itself gives man a certain security. Not that kind of security that you look for in absolute terms, you see. So that's why I say that when a person learns about Olam HaBa and Chai Olam HaBa, shouldn't look at it as a simplistic thing. Like, this is, here I am and I'm in. You know, I mean, that's big limud, and the limud has to affect you. So that's why I said before that when you study ideas, you got to study each idea in its own realm. Like the Rambam is studying the idea of the proof of the existence of God. It has to be studied in its own realm. Not because you're going to get a chelik in Olam HaBa. It's true that if you don't believe in God, you have a chelik in Olam HaBa. But that's not what it is here. That's not the subject matter here. That's a different study. Okay? That's my point. That's a hard point to get across. But that's what I'm trying to say. You know, I mean, it's... Yes.
Possible without the system of
mitzvahs? Yes. Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, that brings back to me what I mentioned by C.S. Mitzrayim, because Danny Wolf asked a very good question. And I haven't seen anybody, I'm not a bummer, this must be there. But the question is, why did the Jews have to go down? They have to be enslaved like that. I mean, why? So, and it seems that it's a gzeirah. It seems it was a gzeirah. Okay? Now, my son showed me Tosfos. I mean, let's forget about Tosfos anytime. But the Tosfos seems to say it's a gzeirah. But let's just look at it. I mean, I don't know if what we say will fit into the Tosfos, so maybe we'll be able to work it out. Maybe we'll work out the Tosfos. What? Ramban says the what?
It has to do with the
Aver
of Avraham.
The Aver of Avraham?
Yeah.
Is that what?
That's right.
Well,
that's you mean that Ramban? The Ramban what? Because he didn't have Betachon and he left and he went to Mitzrayim. I tell you what Moshe said about that Ramban. That Ramban says you have to erase. That's nice. He says because it's a very strange Ramban. Because Ramban is criticizing Avraham Avinu when Avraham Avinu did the rational thing. As a matter of fact, Chazal said that was one of the Nisyonos. That in this laws and so on, that God tells him, go to this land, blah, blah, recho, God, he goes there, all of a sudden there's a rav, he has to leave. So, hey, this is a bad thing, it's something wrong. But that was an assign that shouldn't interfere with his, you know, everything's going against him. That was one of the essence of the because that's you have to be on a high level to not to have that effect. You know, right? Right? Everything's falling apart. I mean, there's a rav, there's get out of here, you gotta leave, you gotta go to Mitzrayim. I mean, he just told to go, he's going to Mitzrayim, you know? Enough, because the Dvar Hashem is based on a true idea, and these phenomena that are happening, it's Derech HaTeva, that's it. You see? So, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. God gives you the true idea.
Do you sign with that he should still use rationale and leave?
That he should use it, and the sign was on the contrary. That he should use rationality and leave, and that shouldn't interfere with the fact that was really the best place.
And he passed the test.
And he passed the test, because another person would have lost heart. Yeah, but another person would have lost heart already. We said, that's it, there's something wrong. I don't know, something we can't be right. But he knew Rachmas Hashem, and it didn't affect him. It's not bad things happening. Like, what do they say? Bad karma. You know, I mean, he can't be right. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. So Ramban says over there, that he shouldn't have left and he shouldn't have had betachon, he shouldn't have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. But there's no source for this. You can't criticize the others. You have to have a source, a chazal, something. I mean, what did he do wrong? So Ramesh rejected that Ramban. I mean, the point is that's what I try to say in the shiur. Our system is a system of Tosha Balpeh, which means that even though you see a pasuk, and a pasuk says Vayamar Amar Moshe and Abakar Arev, but we don't take that pasuk literally because we say it's not possible because Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving a Torah. He'll answer Shilas, but he's not going to stand there all day and not learn himself. So it must mean something else. So our system is based on a fundamental conviction in Torah Shabbat and in Chochmah. And even if you see a pasuk, you don't say it can't be. So Rav Moshe said about this Ramban, can't be. I don't know, could you do it? I mean, it's not about nothing wrong. Maybe. Maybe somebody put it in there. I don't know. I mean, things happen. I've seen it happen in other places. You have Tirgum that was put in. And I know about it. I mean, in different places. I pointed it out over the years. Different places. Things, there are religious-minded zealots that feel that there are the mission from God to make sure that their infantile ideas are spread. And they'll go to no lengths to have it done. When they see a chazal, or they'll see a Tirgum that goes against them, they'll try to sneak in there and change it. And they've done it. So is this Ramban something that was put in by somebody? Could very well be. But that again is not what Rav Moshe was saying. Rav Moshe is saying that we can't accept this. There's such a thing as, whatever the reason is, it's not acceptable. That's it. Put it out of your mind. If the Ramban really wrote it and you were here, he'd have to explain to us in very clear terms before we'd accept it. He meant something else or whatever. But it's not viable knowledge. And we're bound to viable knowledge. That's what we're really tied to. We're tied to Chochmah. Nothing else. So that's our Piyad Bar Mela. The Krisus Bris, the main Krisus Bris is in Torah Shabbat Peh. It's in Torah Shabbat Peh. And many psukim in the Torah. I mean, many falsely into a Shar of Askenim. There's no Shar, there's no Askenim. You're tied to Torah Shabbat Peh. So we're moved by anything but the Chochmah. So Volsim Hashar Skanim means that the Bezin's Kabeh, we're going to go over there. That's it. Skanim happens to mean even people that are on our system is purely Tarsh Bal. Purely Tarsh Bal.
Can you bring down Mike
to Avos Simon Bar? Fine. He brings that. I'm just telling you. That's what Moshe said about that Ramban. I mean, he said that you can't accept that Ramban. But forget about that Ramban. So the question is, and even that Ramban doesn't explain it. I mean, because of Rav Avinu, because he did that, that's why for hundreds of years in slavery? Does that make any sense to anybody? That's the Borei Olam, the Dayan HaEmes, the Shofet, the Tzaddik, and Tzaddik V'Yasharu. Is that Tzaddik V'Yasharu? If a regular judge did such a thing, what would you say about it? You'd say he's a Rasha. So how can you ascribe such a thing to the Borei Olam? These answers are not answers that make any sense. So you can't accept things like this. You can't, if you accept them in your mind, over what the Rambam says, the Navi says, that Dibru Hashem Dvarim Hashapaskin Yishayah, they said wrong things about the Borei Olam. That's what the Rambam means, that if you have a wrong idea in those areas, it's very bad. It's very bad. So you can't accept these answers. So the question that arose, so the question, so why did they deserve all this? Now there is a Medrash, I came across, Medrash says that the nozzle in the Bnei HaShvachos, something that were from the Shvachos, they treated them, God said, you'll all be avon. All go down, so you'll all be avon, all be equal. But that doesn't explain it either, because why did the Bnei HaShvachos have to go down? Why did they have to suffer? So obviously that's not an explanation, but it's just saying a benefit that came out of it. The benefit that came out of it, then after that, there was never any kind of aristocratic superiority, sense of aristocratic superiority after that. But it still doesn't answer.
Were B'nai Levi, did they
That's right, they kept the one of us. That's correct, you're right. That's a good quote. But the question that Danny raised was, could you say, perhaps, and this is something which I understand, but I'd like to get a little more precise. For instance, let's say you have a tsunami. So everyone went crazy with the tsunami. God allowed the tsunami to take all those innocent lives. Okay, that's a good question. So, church, he hopes so because he says this is the typical Christian answer, test our faith. It's a dharma test of faith. Very selfish answer. Very selfish answer. Everything for me and these people die to test my faith. It's very nice. So it's a silly religious answer. But somehow these answers, people don't think into them and they're accepted. You know, they're accepted because they sound good. You know, they test the faith because the person right away feels guilty faith. They say, that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Okay, he backs off. It's a psychological trick. But the answer that we hold is that these plates are there from Sheshis and Abrashis. And it was time, it wasn't a nace, it wasn't Nisei Mitzrayim. Probe where things happen. Every yachid, don't go there because this is the way Nate's true, that a person who's acha, so it's like the Ram says, think, but he won't get on the ship. He won't get on the ship. But that's a person that's under Ashgacha. But if you're not under Ashgacha, that's Olam Kemen Hoganoi. And if you have Olam, if you didn't have Olam Kemen Hoganoi, you wouldn't have any Bechila. Because Olam Kemen Hoganoi is a vital element in the realm of our Bechila. And that's the way, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying that everything has a plural, which we're put into a world where it's cause and effect, and our job is to see what perfection is in Shlemus Adam and go for that. Not to look for miraculous things, and that's why we're doing it, you see. And that's the way the Borei Olam created the world, Sheshis Mei Bereshis, and that's it. But can a person escape if you were on a high level and he was close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, Ragle Chassidav Yishmar. That's true. That is true. But this question was raised. The question was raised that they the same answer with regard to Vavodim V'inu Asam. In order for Claudius Royal to had to go through this process. Because the process of Avdus was one that brought them down to the lowest depths of existence. And they were recipient, they were receptive to Moshe Rabbeinu's role, gave them a certain satisfaction. Picked up the spirits. Yeah, it was a big, big challenge, because still you're getting beaten by the taskmasters, and you know what I mean? But it does give the person a something, it gives them and then out of here, because if a person is on a higher level, so he has Ashgacha, and you're under the Ashgacha, and Moshe Rabbeinu told him that the Gula is coming. The process of Avdus. The Avdus was a part of the process. Necessary component. Necessary component for forging on Yisrael. That's true. That's true. But the question is, does that answer the question? Does that answer the question? Does that answer the question? I say it doesn't. Yeah, what do you say? That's what he's saying. So now is he saying that just like this Xera in terms of a tsunami, this Xera that this is the way the world was created, and is there a place on the globe that's 100% safe? Did God put up signs and say this is safe? There's no, no, he didn't do it that way. He created a world that is infinite chachma. These things work with the plates and the heat and the magma and the core of the earth and how the whole system works is all unbelievable. And that's chachma Hashem. And God doesn't put up signs in different parts of the globe. The tsunami over here in a certain time. That's Olam Kemen Hoganoi. That's the way God created the world. But so could you say, that's the question, could you say God created this earth? It's not the same thing because it's not natural law, but it is a sociological law. It's a sociological law. So could you say that that's why the Avdus came about in order that you can have Yetzias Mitzrayim, in order they could have a nation? It was necessary. It was necessary. Just like it's necessary to have a tsunami because that's the way the earth is structured and you can't structure any other way. Because that's make any change, you're going to be missing. So you're going to lose something else. This is the way it has to be. Can you say that answer?
No, your question is, could they have come to Bnei Yisrael a different way?
That's correct.
That's really, isn't that your question?
Well,
then you're saying the power would be
exempt. That's part of it.
That's right, would be exempt according to that.
What do you mean?
You're saying this has to be how the world works. You mean this is something which God desired. as part of the world. They bring in human free will into the picture. They say that God desired this free will to subjugate the Jew.
Yeah, the other instance. They did too much. Didn't have to go up Ben Ayilo. Didn't have to... Yeah, that's the Ramban. Ramban says that.
Besides that,
it's limiting God.
No, besides the excessive force.
Yeah, why?
You think that this is
in other words, you limit, you're saying that God can only, by the way, what was it, what was the, Paro's Nisoyan, because what was the same thing, Neochon Adar Shosh Yama Midbar, Nizbuch Allah Hashem Elokeinu, what was Paro supposed to do with that one, what was he playing over there? Elokeho Ivrim Nikra Alayno, Neochon Adar Shosh Yama Midbar, Nizbuch Allah Hashem Elokeinu, what was Paro supposed to, what was he supposed to do in his mind? To recognize the Amman Evchar. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what they were saying. They were saying, Avdus, no Avdus, but we ask you to recognize there is an Amman. Recognize that there is an Amman Evchar. There has to be an Amman Evchar. And of course, like the Ramban says many times, Torah doesn't explain all the questions that went on to Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, and Paro. But no doubt, that was one of the things why there must be an Amman Evchar. See, and that was the Lekeo Ivrim Nikroelino. But he refused to. We refused to accept that idea. But that was the idea of the Amman Evchar. But the Amman Evchar, the concept—that's the first real concept. So the thing is,
he can still be
right? Yeah. You mean the limit? You're right. Right. That's right. That's right. How's it go again? I've got a Rashi over there. Right. And, he first says Le'edat Yisrael.
Right.
Right.
Gamitz
Yisrael. Gamitz Yisrael. Then they said, okay. That's right. Yeah. First says Le'edat Yisrael.
That's what
Hashem
told Moshe.
Not
what he
said.
That's what Moshe told
Moshe. No, Paro said Le'edat Yisrael. Le'edat Yisrael. Le'edat Yisrael. See, Le'edat Yisrael is a beautiful statement. I mean, it's a wrong statement, but it's expressed beautifully. That's what he meant. Le'edat Yisrael. This is an abstract God. I can't relate to him. It's out of my realm. Well, you're Dr. Yisrael. That's right. It didn't really mean you didn't know the idea. Because he knew the idea. The Egyptians knew that there is one God behind everything. But that's out of my realm. I can't deal with that. Well, you're Dr. Yisrael. That's not my realm. I don't want to know. I have no shech. So, but then he said afterwards, and said, okay, afterwards, I think afterwards, said, okay, Ivrim, right? So he said, just accept the idea of the God of the Ivrim. Okay, don't be such an abstract philosopher. Just accept the idea of the God of the Ivrim. So that he refused also. Right? That's what he said. It was a double chance, yeah. But that was his opportunity to accept the Amman, the Amman. But what I'm saying is that, of the question that we're dealing with before, the concept is that it's like, it reminds us of the Rambam did not accept the idea. Accept the idea that Avraham Avinu, the Ramban accepts it. Ramban accepts it. But they're challenged by the Akedah. And emerged from the Akedah, he emerged as a Ramban says that he was a different man after the Akedah. Rambam doesn't accept it. Rambam does not accept that God created a world in which the only way to attain perfection is through suffering. And that Avraham Avinu could not perfect himself unless he went through this incident which suffering. Rambam doesn't disagree that things like that happen. And that for an average person, a person goes through an assignment, does perfect him if he happily, it's true. But the Rambam doesn't accept the Avraham Avinu. Rambam didn't need it. God didn't make the world that the greatest man has to suffer in order to, that's lacks in the concept of God's perfection. So the Rambam disagrees. But over here, I don't think anybody would disagree. It would seem to me, better to have an Amman.
Why is it called the Brisbane? It's in the Brisbane of Sar.
But if it doesn't make any sense, you can't accept it. You can't accept it. Is that justice? Is that justice? I mean that God's will is this to be an Amman of course. And because of that, centuries, that's not a Melech HaMishpat. Melech HaLev Tzarko HaMishpat. Go with that. That's what seems to me. A tsunami is something different. Tsunami is a natural cataclysmic occurrence which is based upon... This is something else. You're saying intrinsically in this plan that this is the only way this could come about? I mean, and that's why Rebbe said, if only we were in the times of Chas HaShalom, we wouldn't give up one Yom HaShach. That's not... We don't sacrifice people for Mashiach. That's not the direction. So, that's why they had a suffix. I mean, doesn't really make sense in terms of, so you must say, it would seem to me you must say, chait. And what was the chait? You notice in Lame Chayu B'nei Som Mitzuyonim Shom, really, when Yaakov went down, so it says, Lo Yorad Yaakov Inu Ishtakei Rishon, Ha Lover Shom. Right? All right, so what happened? And it says, Ki, and that's what it says, Val Paro, Liros Baruch Mano, Kain, what?
Kain
Mira. Kain, So, one time said, what's the proof from there? I mean, that's what they were telling Paro. He says that was the truth. Oh, was the proof. The proof was because Yosef was being the big shalit on the wing. Get them in. You know, get them in. I mean, you have these guys, I mean, these brilliant people that come from a different... But you see, they didn't do that. Not giving up. We're not giving up our livelihood. We're not going to become... We're not going to take important positions in the government and become very wealthy and live an honorable lifestyle. And we keep our sheep, burying the sheep, because we have to go back some. We've got to keep our profession. So that shows that we're yored l'shtakeya. Okay? Bagosham. But what happened to that plan? I don't know. So what happened? So... Why, after the 7 years of love, so why didn't they? It seems that the plan was dropped. Couldn't leave because of Yosef's position was weakening. If you read between, whatever the reasons were, they in that statement, the brothers weren't in the government, and he says that's when he said it's done. That this is now. So it's a legacy that Yosef Hatzadik left. Whatever it was, whatever the reason was, but they stayed there, and it seems they assimilated in Eden, and the Eden came over the Razor. As a matter of fact, Danny Shogun, the Pasuk, is a Perek Yecheskel that talks about that God sent Nevi'im. Sent Nevi'im to Mitzrayim. Navi Yecheskel says, Perekhov. So he sent Nevi'im to the Shav from Avodah Zarah, and they weren't Shav. Avdus came about because of it, and it's a Malach HaMishpat. What is the Yadoa Teda? He gave a lamb. Avod Avinu Asam. What it meant was like this. That Avinu really, that religion was Yikrasham Avram B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. The correct idea of God. And what it means to be mispalled to God. And what it means to abandon Avodah Zarah. And to have the true ideas. And the chosen tired mitzvahs. So Akkar said that your offspring will have the true ideas. Your religion is not going because, as great as it is. Because of that, they went into Avdus. And then from the Avdus came the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And with Matan Torah is our only chance. So why do we keep the Torah? We keep the Torah because without it, it's all going to be gone. All the ideas, all the true ideas. It's about the purpose of the Torah, the objective, which is the end. Then the framework, which was created. Come back to that. And really, it's the objective. And Avraham Avinu had the objective. And Avraham Avinu instilled the objective among people. And always, like the Rambam says, by the thousands. Where are they today? Gone. Not only are they gone, but we were gone. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, the Malach HaShori said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you saving them? Why are you saving them and destroying them? Halo of Devar Azar, Halo of Devar Azar. What's the difference between them? So you see that they reached the level of Oved Avodah Zarah. But why? Because the dust of Avraham Avinu was unable to survive. They had Bechira, it's true. They had Bechira, but you see that that's why they went into Avdus, and from the Avdus emerged the only thing that we have to survive. And that struggles to this day to survive in very small numbers. I mean, you talk about the world, how many from people have in the world? I mean, how many Shema world? Minuscule. Okay? So, let's survive. The Derech HaTorah Shel Ba'al Peh we have, and the ideas are here now, and we've shown them it's here. Plus of Hashgacha. Without Hashgacha wouldn't be here. There's no question about it. We explained the Gemara Ba'al Basra. That after Churban HaBayis, that the nevorah, it means without that nevorah in the Chachmich Masa Torah, if there wasn't the phenomenon of nevorah, the element of nevorah in Chachmas HaTorah, if that element wasn't there, so then there would be Chachma to carry the people. Rambam wrote that Eloki, the Ezer Eloki, the lowest level of Nevoah. That's what the Ravid says, right? So we arrive in the Sukkah, I think it is. He says, when he oxes, Gala Ruach HaKodesh Beveis Med Rashenu. Because there's an element of Ruach HaKodesh in the Chachma Satorah. Not implanted because the Nevi'im were gone. It's an element of Ruach HaKodesh in the Chachma Satorah. So we have all these, you can have Rambans and Rambams and Ashbos and Bali HaMasorah. And it couldn't be done without the element of Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what secured it to this day. So it exists on a very frail kind of a format. It's strong, but it's frail. But that's really what I think the answer is. And by that, it'd be a problem. That's gay as a chav as a vodav inosam. But the gam as a goy asher avodah don anochi, v'achrechin yetzer ruchushko. Because there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Avram Avinu to answer, the gam as a goy asher avodah don anochi, v'achrechin yetzer ruchushko, means they'll remove themselves from that state of avos. The avos won't destroy them. Ordinarily, once the person's the Eved, is intrinsically removed from God. That's why you see, you have by the Ozen, Shem Alatzina, that the Yidunirza on the Ritzio, on the Eved. Because Avdus is totally debilitated, makes him dependent on man. And that's the Eyez Acharez Elohim, because it's not going to, your plan, your religion is not going to make it. Wind up that they'd be over a variable going to Avdus. But then the Avdus will not be something that will destroy them. And then they'll emerge as everybody. So they want an Avdus. That's a force. But see, they didn't go with Avdus.
Actually, the way you learned possibly, that's what caused the Geri Yezach, I mean...
That's correct. Geri Yezach HaRez L'Olohem was the cause. That's correct. Geri Yezach HaRez L'Olohem. That they didn't really belong there.
And they learned their ways.
And they learned their ways.
That's what deserves.
Therefore, that's correct. Very good. That's correct. The Pasuk supports that. Geri Yezach HaRez L'Olohem. And once you're Geri in another land, so you naturally try to assimilate with the land. You just want to be part of the culture. And then Vavadah.
Some
is
natural result of the lifestyle that Avram set up,
because
it lacks
her agnesis.
How it's like a
gzera. The Rishonim will say
it's a...
That's the way I understand the idea of the gzera. That's what I understand. Gzera means because that's the way it is. I mean, that religion, Kendoso MS, could not really ultimately survive without Torah, without mitzvahs. That's the way I understand it, Exer. I can't... yes?
What's the combination of Binner pointing out also the requirement to have a manifest demonstration of control over the laws of nature? In other words, that seems to be in itself a requirement. That seems to be a requirement. That whole the whole events was also required to demonstrate God's control over nature, have all the nisim. But it seems to be that there was a requirement to manifest God's
don't do anything. Only the source of was that the onesh, they deserved an onesh, but the specific onesh was avdus. That was the thing that made them receptive of avdus was the xero. Not the xero was that they should be avodim. Do you know what I mean? The xero was, there's no xero because they yisur b'lochet. So once they were chotim, there were many onesh they could have performed on. Could have died. Could have diseases. Many things could happen. But the hashgacha was that the onus should be avdus. The zera of avdus was in the min ha-onus, not that there was an intrinsic zera that after. See, that was the zera.
It seems like a broken onus because you want to separate them from the society.